Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we stay at Boca Chica, Texas, the aftermath of the launch of Starship on Super Heavy, the spectacular event of seeing that largest rocket ever take off from the Earth, and the debate afterwards as to what's next. Elon Musk has entered into it, but right now, Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, is going to entertain us and very carefully inform us as to how the federal government, the regulators, the FAA, and its attached particulars, the National Wildlife Refuge, state parks, state wildlife management, the fish and wildlife of the federal government, are all weighing in with an opinion about a rocket launch in Texas. Bob, a very good evening to you. This was part of the conversation that took months before the first flight was cleared, and now it's back. How so? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. The story here is that it's not so much the government has moved in, though they are partners in this surreptitiously, but how environmentalists now have moved in and have filed a lawsuit against the Federal Aviation Administration for daring to approve a launch license for Super Heavy Starship out of Boca Chica, Texas. Let me read from their lawsuit, because their lawsuit claims essentially that rocket launches inside this land are detrimental to wildlife and the environment. Quote, "The area surrounding the SpaceX facility at Boca Chica is a biologically diverse and essential habitat area for many species, including federal protected wildlife and animals that are considered sacred to the Carrizo Comacrudo people, such as critically endangered ocelot. SpaceX facility is smack dab in the middle of public-owned conservation park and recreation lands, including the National Wildlife Refuge, two state parks, a state wildlife management area, and a state coastal preserve." In other words, Boca Chica is just like the Kennedy Space Flight Center and the Air Force the Space Force Launch Center at Cape Canaveral. It's dead center in a wildlife refuge. And according to this lawsuit, rocket launches inside a wildlife preserve are going to destroy wildlife and the preserve. Well, obviously, then all the wildlife at Kennedy is completely dead and has been for 6 decades, because we've been launching there for 6 decades in the middle of a wildlife preserve. And we've been blowing up rockets, by the way, at Kennedy many, many times, dropping debris on that wildlife refuge. In other words, this whole lawsuit is utter garbage. It's any honest looking at the facts will say this: SpaceX is not doing any harm to any wildlife in its launches. And in fact, they've shown a great deal of responsibility in how they've been trying to operate to do less harm to the wildlife here, much better than anything that's been done at Kennedy, by the way, at the Kennedy Space Flight Center. But this lawsuit, though, reminds me of the 30-meter telescope in Hawaii, which was supposed to begin construction in 2015 and be operating as the largest telescope in the world now. A year ago, in fact, and construction has not started because similar environmentalists and Indian tribes have attempted the same kind of stalling tactics to block it. And this is what they're trying to do here. I should say that they are very clearly working hand in glove with the Fish and Wildlife Service, which from the beginning has acted to slow down permitting for SpaceX at Boca Chica. And their actions have taken place since Biden took control. And it's very clear. Wildlife, for example, issued a statement after the launch talking about how terrible the launch was for wildlife, even as they admitted that no wildlife was harmed and no debris landed on any of their wildlife preserves. But they still said it's a terrible thing for wildlife. And it's very clear they're involved in this and they're supportive of this this suit. I am very skeptical and doubtful that SpaceX is going to get to launch in 2 months like Elon Musk says. I have no doubt that SpaceX will be ready to launch, if not 2 months, 3 months from now, but definitely very soon. But I don't think they'll have a permit, and I don't think they're going to get a permit for months and months and months. And I think even if this court suit is dismissed, it is only the first of a series of delaying tactics, just like with the 30-meter telescope in Hawaii, that will end up preventing any more launches from Boca Chica in Texas, John.
Plan B, Bob. Musk held a press conference. Does he indicate Plan B?
Yes. The press conference that Musk did, this was before, this was just after the lawsuit, actually. It was over the weekend the lawsuit was filed. No, I'm sorry, it was just before the lawsuit. This was filed, this lawsuit was on the weekend, and the lawsuit was on Monday. He held an hour-long audio press conference with space reporters on Twitter, in which he outlined, one, the launch was pretty much what he expected. They will be ready to launch again in about 2 months. Quote, the debris was really just basically sand and rock, so it's not toxic at all. It's just like a sandstorm, essentially, and that's true. Basically, everything that was spread around was sand, mostly, in the air. You had some concrete debris that got flung about, only landing on SpaceX's own property. Didn't do any significant damage, they said. It did hit a few of their tanks, but those are tanks they were going to replace anyway. And he says the biggest issue in making sure they can fly in 2 months is the flight termination system. This was a takeaway that we hadn't realized. It appears that when they hit the self-destruct button, the self-destruct mechanisms took longer than they wanted to activate. And that's not good. They want it to happen when they press the button. So they're going to have to look at that and get that fixed. And I'm sure FAA is not going to approve until they get that fixed. And that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say, no, you can't launch it to get that fixed. Next flight will be a repeat of this one. They'll try to do exactly the same thing with a new Starship and the next prototype of Super Heavy. He does expect it to go much better because they will be using a Super Heavy with better engines, more update engines, with a lot more improvements. Their goal will be to get the stage separation so that Starship will fly on its own and possibly be able to reach orbit, and then they'll be able to test its ability to come back from orbit successfully. He also says that he gives themselves an 80% chance of making orbit this year. That's assuming they can fly, and that's a different subject that, you know, we're going to have to live with.
Bob, the cause of only 31 engines firing, was it the debris from the launch stand?
He was not clear on that, and he's not sure. He says they specifically launched slowly to protect the engines. They didn't want to be full throttle right away. They were worried about vibrations tearing things apart. But that caused more damage to the concrete below. And so, yes, it might have been a factor, but he didn't say. And it appears that he was a little reluctant to answer some questions on this, not so much because he was trying to be secretive, but because their investigation is complete. They're not sure yet what caused some of those engines to fail. He did say, though, once again, the engines on this prototype 7 of Super Heavy were older engines, not all consistent. They were built over different periods of time as they were upgrading Raptor 2 engines. He says that the next prototype, number 9, is going to have a full set of consistently the same engines, all the modern version that they have been throwing off the assembly line. And so he's more confident that a lot of those engine problems will not occur because the engines themselves will be better.
31 of 33 fired. Does that tell us they don't need all 33 to get to orbit?
He made that point repeatedly. He said that, you know, the whole point of this is that it's a very robust system. In any situation, if some engines fail, you've only lost a tiny percentage of your power, and they can pick it up from others. Now, they didn't just lose two, John. They lost actually as many as 8, depending on when in the flight you want to look at. Some came back on, actually, after they turned off. And so that's part of it. But this is like a Falcon 9. Falcon 9's had at least 2 launches where one of the engines went out, and it made orbit, and it was able to release its payload successfully. The multiple engine concept, if you can make it work, is very robust because it doesn't. You're relying on a lot of redundancy to get to orbit, and that worked.
He also said that the cause of the launch stand's collapse was because the sand was overcompact, and that meant the concrete base fragmented, and they're going to replace it with a piece of steel that they watered. Does that make sense, Bob?
I want to make things very clear. The stand, the tower, did not collapse. What happened was that the concrete at the base under the rocket fractured and broken to pieces because, as Musk says, Super Heavy is the world's largest blowtorch, and the heat from the engines basically destroyed the concrete and that debris. Their plan before the launch was to put this giant steel plate underneath that's water-cooled. He said, think of a shower head pointing up. That's essentially design. And that's a variation of designs that they use now with water to cool the ground when a rocket launches. And so there's no reason why that won't work as well. The engineering there is somewhat robust. They just didn't have time to put it in, and they did not expect the concrete to be damaged as much as it was. That was a surprise. But then again, this was the first launch, so there were going to be surprises. Once again, this gets us back to they will be ready to launch relatively quickly because they had plans for replacing that launch pad anyway, and they have a better prototype ready waiting in the wings. So the only thing in this way is the federal government and the chicken littles in the environmental.
And two small items. One, the 100th use of fairings on a Falcon Heavy. What is a fairing, Bob?
Fairings are the shroud that protects the payload when you launch, and SpaceX, most companies do it the same way. There's usually two halves like clamshells that come off and fall back into the sea. But SpaceX years ago decided there's no reason why we can't recover these and reuse them, and they have been. And so when they did a Falcon Heavy launch this past weekend, putting up a ViaSat geosynchronous communications satellite, the second Falcon Heavy launch of the year, by the way, they successfully completed the 100th reuse of used fairings. In other words, they've already 100 times used those fairings over again. Once again, it's another way to save money.
And this one is the most entertaining. Chinese company Galactic Energy, which Bob identifies as a pseudo company, in other words, state-owned enterprise, is copying the Merlin engine. It's a tribute to Musk that he is now being copied by the rising power.
China has been copying everything, always copies things. It was going to originally, its heavy lift rocket was originally an SLS copy. They very quickly realized that if they're going to copy anything, they should copy the best. So they're now copying Starship. And yes, it's a copycat Merlin engine. If you're going to steal from the best.
Suborbital rocket exploded. Any damage, Bob?
It's hilarious. I have a link to this. This was a suborbital small rocket launching out of Spaceport America in New Mexico. It 4 seconds after launch, it explodes. The videotape watches debris come down to the ground less than 100 feet away. All wildlife, every bit of greenery is now gone from all of New Mexico because of that suborbital launch. I'm being facetious here and didn't do any damage. But it's unfortunate for this startup Up Aerospace, because this suborbital rocket was to demonstrate their ability to do suborbital launches, and they failed. They say they'll go up to the next, but we'll have to wait and see.
Bob, is that the spaceport that Branson claimed he was going to use?
Yes, Spaceport America is in New Mexico. It was designed and built specifically for Virgin Galactic, which has never really done any tourist launches there except for one. Nothing, never operational, and it's been basically a failure financially for the local community.
So it's got a customer if the customer launches successfully. To Ireland, to a spaceport in Ireland. This is a really good idea. Where, Bob?
Well, we don't know. It's not really existing yet. There is a company in Ireland called SUAS Aerospace. I guess that's pronounced SUAS Aerospace. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's a company whose focus is expressly to build a spaceport for rocket launches in Ireland. And one of their main officials gave a speech where he basically lobbied the local local investment community in Ireland as well as the Irish government to help them build this spaceport. They need land, obviously, and so they want to get land in Ireland. And he's making the argument that Ireland is a good location because it's along the ocean, and so they have a lot more flight paths out compared to other launch sites. This story just illustrates the benefits of competition. A decade ago, UK was going to have a government spaceport, government run, and they were going to pick a site and the government was going to do it. And they made the decision to drop that and instead let private companies build the spaceport. So the result is that the UK has now two vertical launch sites being built. Meanwhile, because of that, the EU has three suborbital spaceports being built, some operational already. And now Ireland wants to get involved with an orbital launch. And this is competition. It's the best way. You start to allow competition, and it pops up everywhere.
Viasat has made a decision. What is it, Bob?
This is competition once again. This gets back to that Falcon Heavy launch of Viasat geosynchronous satellite this past weekend. Just before that launch, Viasat announced that it is canceling its contract to launch one of its next Viasat satellites on an Ariane 6 rocket. Ariane 6 hasn't launched yet. It's Ariane Space's new version to compete with SpaceX. I said from the day they announced it, this is not going to be competitive because it's not reusable. It's too expensive. People are going to not want to use it. Viasat had signed a contract with Ariane 6 anyway, but Ariane 6 is still not ready. And so the company has announced they're going to drop it. They're going to instead open the bidding up to anyone else to launch that third satellite. The ULA has the second launch. But the simple fact is the only company that's got a rocket available to launch this is SpaceX's Falcon Heavy. So I think it's almost a certainty that Falcon Heavy is going to get that contract taken.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Patrick.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.